defending god. Well, it's Vartanans, but no, I'm talking about something else. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and everything in between. This is episode number 505 of The Next Step. We're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
No, it's not a translation for the word. It's a consequence of the word. That makes sense? Hey, I don't know. Okay, worry. The word worry. What is the consequence of worry? Well, it just so happens that the Armenian word for worry, which is used for worry, is not the word worry itself. It is the consequence of worry, namely medahokutyun. Medahokutyun literally mitk means mind. Hoknutyun means tiring. It's the tiring of the mind. So that's how we say worry in Armenian, but it's interesting because it's really the consequence of worry, right? Because we worry, we just wear out our mind. We tire it away. Tiredness of the mind. Worry. Medahokutyun. I was just thinking about that because I am so tired, and I got to admit that there are some things that I'm worried about, and I know that worrying isn't good. And I'm paying the price. Tired mind, huh? But sharp. How are you doing? I'm glad you're with us today. We have a great show for you in store today. I got Susie, got Ken working late tonight to get this podcast out. We're going to be talking about a few things, not just worrying topics, but I want to talk about the feast today. Happens to be Vartanants, and I want to talk about apologetics. Have you ever heard people apologize for God? Oh, you say, what an absurd thing. Who would apologize for God? Well, believe it or not, we all do. People of faith have this natural way of just apologizing for God and not letting God be God. And I'm guilty of it. I was guilty of it. I thought every so often I'll catch myself. But you know what? It is more prevalent than you might think. Apologizing for God. And that's probably where I want to start off. And then we'll, after the second portion of the show, we'll start talking about Vartanants in a different way. Vartan. This happens to be today, the feast of Saint Vartan Mamigonian. And together, in the Armenian tradition, we refer to them, the group of Vartan people, as Vartanants, the group of Vartan. And it correlates to another group called the Revontians. And so if you are a priest listening, let me say congratulations, Anu Novodabris, Shnor Havor, which means congratulations, and may you live with your name, and may you be strong, may you be courageous, like the Revontian priests. If your name happens to be Vartan, as well as an assortment of other names, including my name, Voskan happens to be in it. And if your name happens to be one of these names that were in the Vartan battle, for instance, Hovsep, the Catholicos of the time, for instance, Arshag, Vache, yeah, commanders, these names were people part of the Vartanans battle. If that happens to be one of your names, then congratulations to you today. on an overdubbies. And the reason I say this is because we don't do this enough. I think that, you know, there's a certain power that names can reflect upon us. My grandmother, for instance, her name was Mary. Yeah, Mari, the Armenian derivative of Mary. It's interesting because she took on that role of motherhood as the Mother Mary. But, and I always thought about that throughout her whole life. I remember thinking about that as a child and growing up into my teen years and then into early adulthood. Just what a powerful Mary she was. She was a Mary figure, a mother figure. And it was only later that I kind of put a few other things together, that it wasn't just her as Mary, but she had, three sisters. There were four sisters altogether. She had three sisters, and all of their names, all of the sisters' names were in reference to the Holy Mother of God, Saint Mary. So her name was Mary, Mari. And she had a sister named Dirui. Okay, Dirui comes from the word der, meaning the Lord. So Dirui would be the feminine, the Lord, in reference to Saint Mary. She had another sister named Lusaper, the bringer of light. Luis, light per, to bring light, the bringer of light. Can you imagine that? What a beautiful name there. Beautiful, beautiful names. And her third sister was Sirpui. The Holy One, again, in reference to St. Mary. So it's much like the consequence of worry is madahokutun, right? Madahokutun is not worry, but it's the consequence. What happens when you do worry? Your mind tires in the same way. What happens when you have a Mary? You bring the light. The St. Mary brings the light. What happens when you have a Mary, but you are a Sirpuhi or a Dirui? You are the Holy One. You are the Lord, the feminine Lord. There it is. And it was many years later that I figured out that, wow, the parents named all four daughters, because the two brothers were had names of saints. One was Hagop, one was Sarkis. So I guess that tells you like how devout this family was. But the four sisters had these names that were all the names of Saint Mary, the Mother of God. And it's interesting because we don't do that enough. We don't capitalize on these names. Like today, for instance, Saint Vartan. Saint Vartan. What would be like the madahokutun? What would be the mind tiring of worry? You know, like they do that when you take those tests, those standardized tests in school. They say 1 is to 2 as 4 is to what? You know, and you have to figure it out. Well, 2 is 2 times 1, so 4 is to 8. 1 is to 2 as 4 is to 8. Well, in the same way, madahokutun is to worry as Sirpuhi is to Saint Mary. All right? Does that work? Okay, so let's try it now. Madahokutun is to worry as what is to Saint Vartan? How about courage? How about strength? How about nonconformity? How about going against the odds? I mean, what I'm saying is that inside Vartan, we're seeing the name Vartan. There is so much of his character that can be capitalized on. That if we were to really take our saints seriously and use their names in connection with who we are, what we are, you see that they give us a prototype, they give us an archetype of what those qualities, what those characteristics can be. So you look at Vartan, you say, wow, up against the odds. Wow. How does that apply to my life? And so this first portion of today's show, what I want to talk about, is this apologetic that we do. You may think that I'm being hard on us as Christians, but we do it all the time, and it's interesting. This happened many, many years ago when I was a priest, I think the first year that I was a priest, if I remember right. Very nice man in our parish passed away, and I got a call. I was a young priest, and I got a call to the hospital. And I had just gone fishing with this man. He was just a very, very nice guy. He smoked like 3 packs a day. He had diabetes. He was incredibly overweight, and he succumbed to a heart attack. And they called me to the hospital, and, you know, I'm going. And I had just spent a day with him, like a few weeks or maybe a week earlier. And I'll never forget this. I went into the hospital, and the first thing that the wife said to me as I came in, why did God take him? And it just like hit me, like, what? I need to give an answer for God. I need to give an answer for God. I mean, they're seeing that little thing, that tongue depressor that's up on my collar, that little white thing on my collar. It's almost like a calling card for God, right? Like we got a question, we need an answer. And that's what happens to a lot of us priests. We start feeling like we have to give that answer. I mean, what is Bible study all about, right? Why do priests organize Bible studies? Why do they speak in churches? Why is part of their mission, part of their job to preach? Well, it's to give an answer for God. And believe it or not, it could get very easily. We could lose sight of it and forget that we are not God. Basically, God can answer that. Well, as I said, I was a priest maybe about 1 year, and there was this guy named Jared Wilkinson, and he worked with another psychologist, in the area in Sunnyvale, California. And I got an invitation from him to come and join a group of pastors. And so I went to it, and I remember for a couple of years, we had this small little group of pastors, and we'd get together. And the psychologist was a man of faith who opened up his office just so that we can have some catharsis, so we can dump a little bit. And I remember going to that meeting and wondering, what am I going to talk with these people? And sure enough, the questions that I had were the same questions they had, and we started talking and engaging. And I shared with them this story. I said, you know, I went into the hospital emergency room, and it just like hit me. Like, why did God take my husband away? You know, forget that, you know, he was a chain smoker. Forget about his diabetes, his weight condition. Forget about all of these physical matters. But no, God decided to take his life. And for the wife, that was a truth, right? And they demanded an answer from me. So I remember talking inside this group of pastors. And one of the pastors said something very interesting, which to this day I don't forget, and it's probably even shaped some of my theology in reference to how I view God. He says, why do you feel like you have to defend God? And it just hit me, yeah. Wait a minute, God needs me to defend him? I mean, that's a sorry case, right? Especially for a God. He said, let it go. He said, let them say it. It's okay. God can take care of himself. And it hit me. And every time that I'm in this situation where people are asking for solutions that are godly solutions, I remember this conversation. And it has just really helped me. And I want to share it with you because I think it can help a lot of us. That when people ask certain questions, it's for the comfort that they're looking for. And everybody's at different points in their life. You know, it's like, we had a tragedy in our life and lost a baby. And somebody comes up and says, God must have loved your child. And that's why he took her. You go, what? What are you talking about? The God that I worship on Sunday loved my child and so said, I'm taking taking my child away from me is going to make him happy and make me miserable the rest of my life? I mean, is that the God you want me to believe in? Well, no. That's not what they want us to believe in. But what they do is they apologize for God because they don't know what else to do. Come on. I mean, it's so unnatural. The natural course of life is for you to bear children and for your children to bury you. When that gets reversed and you have to bury a child, it is the most horrific of all circumstances. And you need an answer. You need something that will comfort you. And so we come up with these kind of nice little quips, these nice little sayings that we can say. God needed an extra angel in heaven. And we feel good. You know, we feel good. We feel like, okay, that's an answer. We're hurting. We're crying. Our insides are outside. We've just been gutted. But God needed an extra angel. God loved your child more than you. These kind of sayings are what I meant by apologizing for God. Giving answers for God. Instead of just being quiet and standing, there's a beautiful psalm that I always remember. My mom loved this psalm. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." A few weeks ago when we were at our MLK retreat, in one of the rooms, they had put a sign up with this quote from Psalms. And it was the perfect place to have it, because when you are still up in the mountains, you have no choice but to hear God. You have no choice but to see God. And that comes about by being still, not by making excuses for God. And again, it comes back to what happened in that psychologist room. Somebody says, "Why do you feel like you have to defend God?" Yeah. God is big enough. And so sometimes people come up to me with these legitimate questions. Earthquake. Hundreds of people died. Why did God take those people away? Well, you and I both know that God didn't cause that earthquake, right? You and I both know that there are tectonic plates and the earth shifts and the earth moves and earthquakes happen. And if somebody's trapped inside of a house that isn't built properly, that house crumples and they die. You and I know that, right? In fact, the people asking the question know that too. But because they're in the middle of it and they're looking for an answer, they want the apology. They want the apology of God. And so they're looking for an answer, and they're not satisfied until they understand that very simple answer. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's the big question. I've been good. Why do bad things happen to me? Now, in this case, I stopped giving answers, but instead I point to the cross of Christ. And there you find an answer which is not an apology. It's an acceptance, because you cannot understand it. So just as you can't make, you know, your guts have been coming out of you and you can't understand the pain that you're in, imagine the pain at Calvary. You were somebody who did nothing wrong. The ultimate good being paid by the ultimate evil. I mean, it's bizarre. And the only way you can look at the crucifixion of Christ is with an acceptance of heart, understanding that this is what it is. And your comfort comes in looking beyond that cross. Now, that is not an apology. That's understanding the power of that cross. think about it this way. We were looking for the parallel. So let's try it. Madahokutun is to worry as resurrection is to crucifixion. In other words, resurrection is the outcome of crucifixion. Now I'm okay. Now, isn't that better than an apology? Okay. Let's take a moment right now to stop and break and hear the song of the day. I'll be back in a few moments and we'll do Vartanants, okay? Hrash Basagavor is the name of that hymn, beautifully celebrated by the Luis Vocal Quintet. I mean, just beautiful. And I really appreciate this one tonight because one of my favorite celebrations of Vartanants is to celebrate by going to the Divine Liturgy. And this evening, I was unable to go. I missed it this year. Instead, we were at the Ascensia where we do our feeding of the homeless. And it just worked out that this year, Vartanants, we had to be there and nothing heroic. I wish I could tell you that there was heroic, that we said it was Vartanants, so we're going to go and feed the homeless. I wish I could say that, but it just turned out on calendar-wise. And so in lieu of that beautiful Balarak, I had a opportunity to share God's love with others. And in lieu of hearing the hymns tonight, we get to hear it here on the next step. Nora Rush Basagavor, Luis Vocal Quintet. Nonconformist. And what always gets me about the story of Vartan is when it took place, in the year 451. And that really, really like strikes you when you do the math. You subtract how many, when we became Christian, Armenians became Christian in 301, officially adopted it as the state religion, Christianity, something we don't understand today because we don't have this concept of state religion. But the state actually said that this is the religion of the people, Christianity. And so only subtract 301 from 451, and you get 150. It had been exactly 150 years since Christianity was in Armenia, and yet these people were willing to go out there, put their life on the line for this faith, And St. Vartan, in his beautiful speech, says, nothing will separate us from this faith. It's not like a shirt that I could just put on and take off at my pleasure. No, it's part and parcel of my being, of who I am, Christianity. Wow, can you imagine saying that? I'm going to ask you, can you imagine it? No, we can't. We can't even come close to imagining that. I mean, we're willing to give it up for just at the drop of a hat, aren't we? But here Vartan was willing to go out. And interesting, because he knew the odds. It's really, when you think about it, I've always shared with you in the past that it's an unusual war because we celebrate it as Armenians. And I think there's no other group of people who do this. They celebrate a war that they lost. Yeah, that's what Armenians do. We celebrate Vartans. We lost the war. But again, we get to the apology factor, right? And so we say, the moral victory was ours. We won the moral victory because we are Christian today. What is that? That's an apology. That's a rationalization. It's bizarre, right? You're celebrating a lost war. Okay, so you need a reason for it. Okay, apologize for it first. Make up something good and we'll follow along. Well, in actuality, it is a pretty decent way to look at it. Because when we say the moral victory, when we talk about that, okay, we may have lost the battle, but we didn't lose the war, and we rationalize in those terms, or when we say that, well, look at us today, we are Christian, we didn't give up our Christianity, and therefore we won. It's a good way of looking at it, because what does it do? It throws the responsibility and the burden of proof onto us and doesn't throw it on somebody else, but we have to take charge of it. Okay, do you want to say that you won? Okay, then how faithful are you to the traditions for which he fought, for he was willing to give his life for? And it's a story that comes to us every year. In fact, it is one of those stories that as young children, it's one of the first stories that Armenian children learn. And they learn it in the form of a poem. Hayem yes, sarsa petsek intem kes, kachvart hayastani azado, kachvartanin tornem yes. This is what we say. And it's funny, because you hear little kids say it. It says, Hayem yes, I am an Armenian, sarsa petsek imtem kes. Now this is to be terrified from my face. That's really funny when you see a little kid say that. It's to be, look at my face and be terrified. Hayastani abra azadol. The freedom fighters of Armenian, we are the grandchildren of Saint Vartan. It's one of the first poems that most every Armenian learns. And Vartan Mamigonian is really the patron saint of the Armenian people, because here's a guy who went up against the odds. Not only that, he becomes a nonconformist. Not only that, he's able to stand up for what he believes. In other words, he has all of the attributes that we like, and we are able to distance ourselves from him by allowing him to be Vartan, and for us to just say that, well, he was a nice guy and we are descendants of him. And becoming very, very comfortable with the fact that we are descendants, not actually putting it out into action. And this is where the dilemma comes. Now, remember a few minutes ago I was talking to you about the apologies. Well, one of the things about those apologies are that people need them. People need these things, and you can't take that away from people. People need to find an answer. When they say God needed an extra angel in heaven, it comforts people. It comforts people who have not gone through, let's say, spiritual renewal, or don't have a higher understanding of themselves as spiritual beings, right? And it is a very comforting, quick fix to a completely bizarre situation. God needed an extra angel, so he took that life. And it makes sense, right? It fits into the pattern of what you believe. And God swoops down from heaven and makes these decisions all the time. Now, think about that in the same way right here when we're talking about Vartan. We're looking for answers, apologies for these things happening. We don't understand. What would make Vartan stand up and saying, I will not give up my faith. I don't care who you are. I don't care how bad you are, how big you are. This is not something you're going to take from me. What makes someone like Vartan, who understands the odds are against him? I mean, the army, he's outnumbered physically. He's the general. He's the commander-in-chief of the Armenian forces. He realizes that he is outnumbered 3-1. For every one of his soldiers, there's 3 Persian soldiers on the other side. He understands that militarily, power-wise, he is outnumbered. The Persians were using the elephants. Incredible. These were the tanks of that time, right? Of the 4th century. And here's Vartan with his little horsies. Might as well have been on a little rocking horse, right? He knew the end was near. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Even the next question is even harder because you know that they prayed. They prayed that God would be with them as they went up against the Persians. And as you could see by the results, that they lost. And so you can even make a case and say that God wasn't there. God didn't arrive in time. God forgot about his people. And that's where the apology comes in. Well, there is a moral victory. We have a moral victory. And that moral victory is a good one. It means that we are still Christian. It is a good one because it throws responsibility on us. Are we really Christian? We have to prove it by our actions, by our deeds. So it's actually a very good answer. But do you understand where I'm going with this? It's yet one more apology that's made in the name of God. And what's happened now, what happens is that we start answering so much that we start believing that this is God's way of dealing with things. And this is why there's a truth to that statement that in the beginning, God created man. It should really be, in the beginning, man created God. In other words, what we understand as God is based on our understanding of justice, of the world, of our relationships, and we project this onto God. We say that God must be like this because he looks like us, he acts like us, and this is how justice is dished out in our terms. Not taking the moment to be still and know that he is God. When you take that moment to be still, then God has an opportunity to talk to you. And in the talking, you hear new things. You see new facts. You see new creations. And as you're listening, as you're still, you start realizing that those answers that are very nice and comforting really come down to a very simple point of acceptance. The acceptance of the cross. And then taking a look beyond that cross and finding that it's not an apology. The resurrection is not an apology. It's a simple relationship. It's a relationship that just as worry is to mudahokutun, in the same way crucifixion and resurrection are interrelated. You see how we get around this? It all comes together. Well, this is the power of our faith. When it's pure, of course it all fits. We're not putting some square peg inside of a round hole. We're not trying to make it fit. It just does fit. It all works. And that's the beauty of armodoxy. When you listen to what armodoxy is about, it's the purest of all forms. It is taking exactly what Christ gave us and understanding it with the power of reason, understanding it with what God gives us. And that means having a respect for the mystery, for the things that we do not understand. And in that respect, in that mystery, we find the satisfaction of being who we really are. So today, Vartanants, how do we look at it? Well, it's a battle that we lost. Today, Vartanants, what is our answer? It's in our hands. You know that story, there's a beautiful story that's told of a master. I believe he was a Zen master. I can't remember this is a Zen story. Certainly sounds like one. It's a Zen master who is being approached by the student. And the student is up to his tricks. He's going to trick the Zen master. And he puts a bird in his hand. And he goes up to the Zen master and says, "Master, is this bird dead or alive?" Knowing fully well that he's going to trick the master. Knowing fully well that he's going to win this questioning with the master. Because if the master says that the bird is dead, he's going to just open his hand and the bird will fly out. If the master says the bird is alive, he'll just squish it. He'll end the bird's life. And then, once again, he'll be right by showing the master the dead bird. But the master is more clever than that, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't be a master. Think about that for a moment, right? He wouldn't be a master if he wasn't more clever than that. And so, when the student asked him, "Master, is the bird dead or alive?" the master said, "The answer is in your hands." Now, I say this story for two reasons, okay? One of them, the answer in your hands, that's absolutely. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, right? But the second reason, it's exactly the same apology that we heard before. "Master, is it dead or alive?" The master responds as God. He doesn't need anybody to apologize for him or to answer for him. The guy was thinking, "I know what God is going to answer. I know what the master is going to answer. He's going to say yes or no, alive or dead, because that's the scope at which I can see. I'm the student, and that's what I understand." But the master goes one step beyond and comes up with a solution that is both true and is not expected. The answer is in your hands. Wasn't that the same thing of what we do, right? We see something we don't understand. Why are these people suffering? Why did these people die in the earthquake, in the tornado, in the hurricane? Why did God allow this to happen? We don't understand it. We come up with the apology. We say God either did it or God didn't care. We have answered for God, the apology, right? Maybe there is another way. Maybe there is a third answer that God can answer. And I can guess at it or I can allow it to be and maybe hear the voice of God say, "The answer is in your hands." Or whatever the answer may be. What I'm getting at is that as people, we have to start understanding ourselves as people. And understand that all the critics of religion are absolutely right when they start saying that people have invented religion. Because we have projected ourselves on something that is not ourselves. You know, we're doing this conference in a few weeks about creativity. And as I was thinking about the talks and putting it all together and the different forums we're going to have, the different people that we're going to be inviting and talking, it occurred to me that this creativity, which comes from the Holy Spirit, when we are created in the image of God, it means we have that ability to create, that the Holy Spirit guides us. And we create because of the divine force. Now, think about that. What is the divine force? The Holy Spirit? Where is that divine force? Where is God? All around us. Therefore, God is inside of us as well as outside of us. The power to create is inside of us as well as outside of us. And it's up to us to really understand that we are not God. That there is a dimension of us that can, that has the God power inside of us. But there is also another dimension to the whole scheme of things that is outside of us. And that relationship of inside and out working together in concert is what makes those miracles happen. In the same way, Vartanans, there was a power that was inside of him, the courage, the patience, there was a power that was outside of him that orchestrated it all and led us to a victory which we celebrate, rightly so, today, some 2,000 years later. St. Vartanans Day, one of my favorites. It falls 2 days after, well, the Feast of the Priests, Revontians. And as I always like to remember, if you think that these things happen by coincidence, 1968, the Cathedral of St. Vartan was consecrated in New York City on the east coast of the North American continent. In 2010, 50 years later, in 2010, the Saint Revontians, Serpos Revontians, Cathedral was consecrated on the west coast of the North American continent. And if you could think about it in this way, the two guardians of Armodoxy here in America, Saint Revont and Saint Vartan, on both sides, guarding a faith that is real, that doesn't need excuses, that doesn't need apologies, but is real because it touches us, because it speaks to us, and because it brings the divine light into our lives. Vartanans. May their memory always, always guide and instill the qualities of faithfulness, of perseverance, of courage, and nonconformity in all of our hearts. Here's Susie to tell you about what we're doing. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for staying up so late. It's a late night tonight. We're going to try to get this out just before the midnight. You're going to see like how we do this. This is wild, how we get these podcasts out. Anyway, thank you for the announcement, and thank you all for listening and for sharing and for supporting and for praying for us. Listen, this coming week begins the Lenten season. Lent begins this coming Monday. I wanted to talk about it, but I have done so many times in the past that probably the best thing would be to just go to our archives and listen in. We have also put together a great list of recipes. If you plan to follow the vegan diet, you can avail yourself to those recipes. We'll make sure that it gets on today's show notes. Lent starts next week. Will be our first podcast of the year during the Lenten season. We'll make sure that we get into it in detail. I do ask for your prayers. We have a lot going on right now. We have our Bible studies. We started a youth Bible study, and thank God, by the grace of God, it is growing by leaps and bounds every week. And we have a big, big conference coming up. It's called Reclaim. It is March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. There is still time to find some tickets to get out here. If you know, I'd be happy to help out any way that I can financially, as far as making the conference available to you. In other words, get out here and we'll get you in somehow, by hook or by crook, as they used to say. But truly, it's going to be an amazing conference. Do check out today's show notes. There'll be a link to it and to all the wonderful speakers. We're going to end it right now, right here. Got a lot to say, but unfortunately, never enough time. I want to thank you for joining us, and do look us up at all the usual places, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course at the mothership inhisshoes.com. Or is it a .org? I think it's a .org. Excuse me. I should know that by now. Big revamp on the In His Shoes page. Sometimes you might find it down, so make sure you connect to all the other places. And once again, a big shout out for Reclaim 2018. We're working very hard on it. Isabel Bayraktarian confirmed today that she's going to be there. So we're looking forward to a great, great conference. If you're down in the LA area, make it there. It's fantastic. It's a couple days that you will not want to miss. Okay? And in fact, if you go on the website, we even made a deal, struck a deal with the hotel across the street from us, and they're even giving you some big discounts on staying at the hotel. So with that, we thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put it together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Buckskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off Balan Top Limits.